Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiOrio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you to Winning with the Word. Today I'm going to be talking about a problem that affects the majority of Americans. That's most of you listening out there. The problem I'm referring to is the problem of debt. In fact, our broadcast today is entitled Taming the Debt Monster, because debt is indeed a monster. Webster defines a monster as a threatening force. Well, debt certainly is a threatening force. It threatens your health, it threatens your marriage, it threatens your relationship with your children, your friends, your coworkers. Debt threatens your ability to think clearly. It threatens your performance on the job. It threatens your peace of mind. I could go on and on. The Bible, God's operating manual for man, calls debt a curse. Let's take a look at the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Old Covenant, also called the Old Testament. In this book of the Bible, we read the following verses. If you won't listen to the Lord your God and won't obey these laws I am giving you today, then all of these curses shall come upon you. Curses in the city, curses in the fields, curses on your fruit and bread, the curse of barren wombs, curses upon your crops, curses upon the fertility of your cattle and flocks, curses when you come in, curses when you go out. Now, let's jump to verse 38, where we read the following. You will sow much, but reap little, for the locusts will eat your crops. You will plant vineyards and care for them, but you won't eat the grapes or drink the wine, for worms will destroy the vines. Olive trees will be growing everywhere, but there won't be enough olive oil to anoint yourselves. For the trees will drop their fruit before it is matured. The locusts shall destroy your trees and vines. I think you'll agree that all of these curses sound pretty terrible. In fact, many of you are experiencing these curses in your lives right now. For example, let's look again at the curse listed in verse 38. You will sow much, but reap little. Are you sowing much, but reaping little? Are you putting lots and lots of time into your job, but still can't seem to make ends meet? Does your paycheck just slip through your fingers? Have you made what looked like good investments, but then lost everything you invested? Now listen to this in verse 43. Foreigners living among you shall become richer and richer, while you become poorer and poorer. They shall lend to you, not you to them. They shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. As a nation, we see this happening all around us. As an individual, you may see this happening to you personally. You may even have lost your business or your job to a foreign person or company. Well, if any of these curses are affecting your life right now, what can you do to get rid of them? What can you do to break the curse of debt over your life? Before I give you some specific steps, I'm going to make a statement that may jar you. But before you dismiss it, think about it for a while, because it may be the key to your getting out of debt. Here is the statement. Debt at its roots is a spiritual problem. Why? Because being in financial debt is directly related to our disobedience of God's laws. Let's look again at the book of Deuteronomy. If you won't listen to the Lord your God and won't obey these laws I am giving you today, then all of these curses shall come upon you. You will sow much, but reap little. Foreigners living among you shall become richer and richer, while you become poorer and poorer. So you see, God calls debt a curse, and he lists it as one of the consequences of disobeying his laws. If debt is one of the consequences of disobeying God's laws, then prosperity must be one of the consequences of obeying God's laws. Now let me explain what a curse is and what causes it. A curse is an empowerment to fail. Have you ever felt that everything you do turns to ashes? Do you find that no matter how hard you try, nothing you do to get out of debt seems to work for you? Perhaps you even work two or three jobs and still you can't make ends meet. If so, stay with me because I'm going to show you God's way for you to get out of debt. If you're in debt, no one has to tell you that the Bible is accurate in calling debt a curse. It's certainly no fun not having enough money. You know, I've been poor and I've been prosperous, and I can tell you, prosperous is a whole lot better. Of all the problems facing the American family today, debt is without question one of the worst, if not the worst problem. More marriages break up because of arguments over money than over any other problem. The sad thing is that most of those broken marriages could have been avoided had the couple understood how to deal with the problem of debt. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of how to get out of debt. Let's begin by exposing the root cause of debt. As I said, people get into debt because they do not obey God's laws, particularly God's laws of economics. Most people don't even know that such laws exist, let alone obey them. Consequently, they get themselves into financial trouble. In the biblical book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, God says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." This means that we are destroyed because we lack the knowledge of how God operates. You see, God has his own economic system, which is the exact opposite of the world's economic system. The world's economic system is under Satan's control. God's economic system is based on faith, while Satan's economic system is based on fear. If you are in debt, you have been operating according to Satan's economic system, even though you may be totally unaware of that fact. How do I know? Because of the bad fruit of debt that you're producing in your life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 says, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." So if you operate according to Satan's economic system, you will produce the bad fruit of debt. If, however, you operate according to God's economic system, you will produce the good fruit of financial prosperity and wealth. Now that I've laid a foundation for you, let's get practical by exploring God's laws of economics and how they apply to our everyday life. Let me warn you, however, that God's economic principles will probably sound very strange to you, perhaps even absurd. The reason for this is that God's way of operating is the exact opposite of man's way of operating. God himself says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." So, as we begin exploring God's principles for getting out of debt, what I like to call debt eliminating principles, I encourage you to keep an open mind and pay close attention to what God is saying to you. As you faithfully and diligently apply these principles, your debt will begin to disappear. Debt eliminating principle number one. Everything belongs to God. You do not own anything. You are simply a manager of God's possessions. God makes this very clear in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, when he says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." In Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, we also read, "The earth belongs to God. Everything in all the world is his." Well, if everything in all the world belongs to God, and if we are simply the managers of God's possessions, then we need to ask him what he wants us to do with his possessions. If, for instance, God says to you, "Give $1,000 to the missionary visiting your church," then you must give $1,000 to the missionary visiting your church. Why? Because it's not your money, it's God's. Even if you need that money to pay your mortgage, you must obey God. He knows you need to pay your mortgage, and as you obey him, he will provide you with the money to pay your mortgage on time. Your obedience obligates him to do so. This, then, is the first thing we need to acknowledge if we want to get out of debt. We need to acknowledge that God owns everything and that we are just the managers of his belongings. Humbly accepting this truth will cultivate in us the right attitude toward money and will put us in the right frame of mind to get out of debt. Debt eliminating principle number two. God commands us to tithe our income and to give offerings over and above our tithe. The meaning of the word tithe is a tenth or 10%. To tithe means to give God the first 10% of your gross earnings right off the top. In God's eyes, failure to tithe is tantamount to robbing him. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. God is speaking here. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Notice God said that we have robbed him in both tithes and offerings, not just in tithes and not just in offerings, but in both. If you give offerings but don't tithe, you're still robbing God. If you tithe but don't give offerings, you're still robbing God. So God equates failure to tithe and to give offerings with stealing from him. That's pretty serious. Now, God doesn't need the tithe. What he is saying is that when we don't tithe, we are robbing him of the obedience and submission we owe to him as God. You may be thinking, how can I tithe and give offerings? I don't even have enough to pay all my bills, let alone tithe and give offerings. Let me ask you a question in return. How can you not tithe and give offerings when God has commanded you to do so? Have you ever considered why God commands us to tithe and give offerings? The reason is the same reason for which he commands us to do anything, so that he can bless us. You see, not only does our obedience show God that we love him, our obedience also brings blessings into our lives. To obey God is to do ourselves a very big favor. So getting back to your question, how can I tithe and give offerings? The answer is simple. Just decide to tithe and give offerings. Decide to tithe because God says to tithe. Decide to give offerings because God says to give offerings. When you obey God, he is obligated to take care of you. Your tithe and your offerings are the seed you give to God so that he can plant a money crop for you. Without your financial seed, God can't plant for you a financial crop. Imagine a farmer trying to plant a crop without any seed. Well, when you don't tithe and give offerings, you're just like that farmer. How can you expect to reap a harvest if you don't first plant any seed? When you give God your tithe and offerings, he plants them for you, and eventually you will reap a crop of even more money than you gave in tithes and offerings in the first place. Why? Listen to me closely. I'm going to reveal to you a key principle in getting out of debt. Here it is. In God's economic system, you earn your living from your giving. Let me repeat that. In God's economic system, you earn your living from your giving. Not from your job, but from your giving. If you still think this principle of giving tithes and offerings sounds strange, let me share a personal experience with you. When my husband and I first learned about tithing, we made a decision to obey God. I must confess that we wrote out our first tithe check with some trepidation. Nevertheless, we wrote it out as an act of obedience to God's command, and we put it in the offering plate. A few days later, we received a bill for some professional services that had been rendered to us. With the bill came a letter stating that the bill was being sent simply as a formality and that we were not required to pay it. To our amazement, the amount of the canceled bill was the exact amount of the tithe check we had written earlier that week. God had begun to reward us for our obedience to his word. Well, we're running out of time, so we'll have to pick up right here next time. Before I close, however, I'd like to encourage those of you who are in debt, especially those who are so deeply in debt that you have no hope left. Some of you are so over your heads in debt that you're even thinking of killing yourselves to get out of your mess. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, that the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. If you're facing what seems like an impossible situation today, whether it be a financial situation, a physical problem, a marital problem, a problem with your children, whatever the case may be, I want you to know that God can turn impossible situations into possible ones. Not only can he do so, he wants to do so. You see, God loves you. He doesn't want you to suffer. Let me ask you a question. If you're a parent, do you want your children to suffer? Of course not. Well, God is the perfect parent, and he does not want you to suffer. In fact, he wants to rescue you out of the messes you've gotten yourself into. But you have to ask him to do so. He won't push his way into your life. He respects you too much. So if you want God's help, you have to ask him for it. How do you do that? By inviting Jesus Christ into your life. You see, Jesus Christ is God's way of providing for you a way of escape from debt, sickness, fear, addiction, and any other problem you will ever face. If you have not yet invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, I encourage you to do so now. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and that you rose again on the third day. I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christ follower. I invite you to write to me at drmarianne@mariannediorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help you get started in your Christian walk. I invite you also to visit my website at mariannediorio.com. And if you don't attend a church, ask the Lord to lead you to the church of His choice for you, where you can be fed on God's Word and where you can use the gifts God has given you to bless others. Next time, we will discuss part 2 of Taming the Debt Monster. Until next time, remember that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.